This podcast is brought to you by Aviation Safety Magazine, the monthly journal of risk management and accident prevention.
Hello, I'm Glenn Pugh for AvWeb.com. The FAA is considering changes to the rules that regulate how historic aircraft are operated. And whether you're just a fan of the aircraft and would like to see them on the airshow circuit, or if you hope one day to take a ride and maybe even fly one, those changes could affect you. We're speaking today with Hunter Cheney, Director of Marketing for the Collings Foundation. The Collings Foundation, of course, maintains and operates a number of historic aircraft and takes them on tour each year. Hunter, thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me, Glenn.
So, Hunter, what's at issue here? What's the FAA up to?
Well, briefing on the Living History Flight Experience exemption basically allows 501c3 nonprofit foundations to operate historical aircraft for compensation or higher. It's the primary mode of how historical aircraft operators like this under this exemption are able to keep these planes flying and make them accessible to the public. This is a critical exemption for warbird operators like the Collings Foundation, FAA, CAF, other organizations like this. Back in March of last year, the FAA had put a moratorium on the Living History Flight Experience exemptions for review. And this raised some alarms for us, since primarily we didn't get any reason or rhyme behind the moratorium, since there has been no injury to person during any Living History Flight Experience flights since we've been doing this. So you would think that it's such a far-reaching move to put a moratorium on Living History Flight Experience, there must be some reasoning behind it. Unfortunately, that was not the case.
So what we're talking about in a nutshell is Living History Flight Experience is sort of a set of regulations that the FAA applies to. I go to an air show, there's a B-17 there, I want to take a ride, I want my son to take a ride, I pay $200, $400, however much it costs to get us on board there, and we go for a flight, and these regulations are what the FAA is taking a look at now.
That's partially true. The FAA is, I think, more scrutinizing any future exemptions, and now is, as we're starting to get into the operation of Vietnam and Korean War aircraft, that they're taking a closer look at the ability to do the same with jet-powered aircraft or aircraft outside of World War II.
So specifically, why are they considering changes here? And let's get very specific about what aircraft this might affect.
This, first of all, it could affect the reissuing of flight exemption letters across the board to all warbird operators under this exemption. There's no guarantee that the FAA will lift the moratorium. And it also affects our ability to get, say, flight exemption for the Messerschmitt ME-262 jet that we have, other Vietnam-era aircraft like the F-100 or Skyraider. These are aircraft that we fly in honor of our Vietnam veterans, and we want to be able to operate them with the same safety parameters that we exhibit under exemption for all our aircraft. What's unsettling about this is a lot of the questions that were posed with the FAA's concerns that we just recently received were redundant to the meetings that we had with FAA 10 years ago. So it's like we're spinning the same wheel.
So what are some of those concerns?
Around safety, there's a lot of questions of what's the safety protocol? Are there backup programs to safety protocol? Are the pilots trained? Does the aircraft have insurance? If these things have been established and have been ongoing since we've got Living History Flight Experience exemptions, there's questions that they ask themselves. Should the FAA establish an organizational delegation authority, like a process that would authorize and evaluate? So they're asking a lot of questions internally to themselves in a public forum. But mostly it has to do a lot with what should be the limitations with new aircraft that come on living history flight exemption.
So how could this affect somebody who has an interest in these aircraft and somebody going to an air show, somebody who's interested in taking maybe a warbird flight?
This would affect the public in that they would not be able to see these aircraft. We have to offer exemption rides to pay for their operation. The air show circuit is very budget strapped. The cost of flying any of these aircraft for public display is immense. And so we keep these planes operating solely through the participation of flight experience. If folks like to see these aircraft flying, if they want to have the opportunity to see a Vietnam jet or fly in a Vietnam era jet or fly in a World War II prop aircraft, this exemption is critical in being able to continue to operate these aircraft the way we've been doing for the last 23 years.
So the FAA is just taking a look at the regulations. Is there a chance that they won't affect any changes at all?
That's what we're hoping for. There's a meeting coming up this month, June 26 to 28 in Washington, D.C., where the FAA is a public meeting, and the FAA is looking for comments and suggestions and voicing their concerns regarding this moratorium. So the possibility, hopefully with support, of course we need the support, we're hoping that the moratorium will be dropped and we can go back to standard living history flight exemptions.
How can we make our voices heard here? What can we do about this?
There's a federal e-rulemaking portal that people can go to, which is www.regulations.gov. There's a way to respond and basically put your comments in. It's important to list docket number FAA 2012-0374. That's the docket number that applies specifically to this moratorium. What we're hoping is that through clear reasoning that we can refocus on the questions that were posed again 10 years ago, and hopefully that they'll just drop the moratorium and we can continue with our safety record.
We've been speaking with Hunter Cheney of the Collings Foundation. I'm Glenn Pugh for AvWeb.com. Thanks for listening.
This podcast is brought to you by Aviation Safety Magazine, the monthly journal of risk management and accident prevention.